This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon and welcome to RCR's Daily Brief. It's Tuesday, March 11, and I'm Megan McNamara. First up, we have the latest headlines with Paul Brennan. We'll hear from Sarah Henderson of advocacy group Manawa Hine Corridor on the Midwifery Council's revised guidelines and their impact on the practice of midwifery. RCR host Marie Buskey will join us for some commentary on the latest Curia poll and what it reveals. And finally, Natalie's here with the RCR signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. Nicola Willis says Christopher Luxon will lead the National Party into next year's election, despite new polls showing Luxon's popularity has taken a hit. Luxon is heading to India later this week for talks about a potential free trade agreement. A New Zealand Defence Force attaché will attend a Heads of Defence meeting in Paris to discuss post-conflict Ukraine and New Zealand's potential involvement in a coalition of the willing. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon told RNZ this morning. Luxon said he was open to it, but the conflict was still ongoing and a settlement had yet to be reached. Foreign Minister Winston Peters has travelled to Washington and New York for meetings with key US officials, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Talks will focus on bilateral relations as well as global issues like Ukraine, Gaza, and Indo-Pacific security. Mr. Peters will also meet UN representatives and other US-based contacts. Overseas, the UK has presented possible legislation for GMOs. The Genetical Technology Act 2023 grants sweeping deregulatory powers for the commercialization of so-called precision-bred foods, as well as experimental field trials. Submissions on similar legislation in New Zealand, which allows the genetic modification of microorganisms, are being heard by the Health Select Committee this week and next week. A federal judge in Texas has ordered the FBI to produce the contents of Seth Rich's laptops following a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. Rich, a former political employee, was murdered in 2016, just days before whistleblower site WikiLeaks published leaked Democratic Party emails. It remains to be seen if the contents of his laptops will reveal a list of email recipients and whether WikiLeaks was among them. In Canada, former central banker Mark Carney wins leadership of Liberal Party in a landslide despite having no political experience. Mr. Carney secured 85.9% of the vote. He promises to fight Donald Trump's trade war and keep retaliatory tariffs in place. And now for RCR Quicklinks. Millions of dollars are set to flow offshore to foreign gambling operators as the government auctions online licenses for the first time. The Commerce Commission has filed criminal charges against meal delivery company HelloFresh for allegedly misleading customers when attempting to get discontinued subscribers to sign up again. Ontario has hit power exports to the US with a 25% surcharge, a move that will affect 1.5 million homes and businesses in Michigan, Minnesota, and New York. And fact-checker NewsGuard has launched a service to protect large language models, AI systems, from foreign influence operations. And that's RCR Bytes News for today. It's Tuesday, the 11th of March. I'm Paul Brennan.
Manawa Hine Corridor spokeswoman Sarah Henderson joined Paul Brennan yesterday to discuss the changes to terminology in the Midwifery Council's revised guidelines and the debate surrounding inclusivity versus biological reality.
So what does this latest proposal tell you?
Well, what has happened is that the scope proposal that was submitted last year in April was complained about by a number of people to the Regulations Review Committee, and the Regulations Review Committee determined whether or not language in secondary legislation is fit for purpose, whether it can be considered legal language or not. Mm. And they considered that the scope language wasn't, that it was too unclear. They accepted a certain number of complaints, six complaints were upheld on that basis, that the scope was too unclear. It didn't actually say who midwives cared for. But what the Regulations Review Committee haven't done is address the ideology driving the whole situation.
Right.
So what they've done is work with the Midwifery Council in collaboration, essentially, to find a way to say the things that the Midwifery Council wants to say in a way that can be legislated.
Actually, is that their job to make suggestions like that?
They can make specific suggestions. So if, you know, for any regulatory health authority who submits the scope of practice, if there's something that doesn't work in terms of legal language, then the Regulations Review Committee will say, look, you know, why don't you change this little bit of the sentence and then we can accept this.
Yeah, but you'd assume in this case that, oh, that sounds like a bit of sanity's prevailing. We'll get to the words that actually are reality. But that hasn't happened, has it?
No, I mean, it's important to remember that this is a win for women. You know, it's a genuine win because what has happened is that the council now has to go back and open the scope up, the new one that they've worked on with the Regulations Review Committee, to public feedback. So the public can actually go and say, we don't like this. We don't like any of it. It doesn't matter whether you say, you know, a woman is a person who's capable of carrying a pregnancy or gestating a baby or whatever it is. And it doesn't matter if you add in the gender diverse beside, you know, woman, pregnant person. None of it is acceptable. So if you, you know, if you don't want any of that, then now's the time to write to the council, and you can find their, you can find the proposal, the feedback on their website.
I'm just reading here from that Regulations Review Committee. I mean, they're saying stuff like individuals capable of childbearing.
And, yeah.
And now this ideology kind of seems to be at every layer.
Yes, it's very much at every layer, and it's and the entire National Health Service, all of our national health services are have fallen to it. So as soon as you begin with something that's really obvious like this and you begin to follow it back, you realise that it's all the way through, it's not just midwifery, it's all the way through maternity services and all of the associated satellite organisations that work around midwifery. It's all through Health New Zealand and it's all through the Ministry of Health. If the public really wants to contribute, go to the Midwifery Council website, provide the feedback, and then go to the petition select committee page and on the parliamentary website and write to the petitions committee and tell them that you want an investigation into the Midwifery Council and their functioning and the development of the scope of practice, because that's what Deb Hayes' petition has asked for. And that's what certainly Mana Wahine Kōrero, we've advocated for that, because there's a lot that has gone on. Some of it is worthy of investigation and suggests, without making a statement of fact, but it certainly suggests their behaviour, that they have been dishonest in their dealings and have been dissembling about how they have actually achieved all of this.
Marie Buskey joins us now for her take on the results of the latest Curia poll.
Thanks, Megan. You've got to love legacy media with the publication of a political poll. The reporters sigh a combined gasp of relief, as they know on this day, regardless of the outcomes, precious column inches, vox pops and monologues will be easily furnished. So this week saw the Curia taxpayers poll, one that tracks party votes, preferred PM, and has a very dab handy graph on how those parties are tracking over time. So whilst those that can sport the title of journalist in their LinkedIn profile get frothy about a 0.8 percentage lead for Labour over National in the party vote race, even though both parties saw increases overall, they got even more a quiver over the fact that Chris leapfrogged Christopher in the preferred Prime Minister race. Even by leapfrogging, you mean a paltry 0.6%. Hardly a leapfrog, more a sort of slight slink past the goalie to face an open goal. Only time will tell if he strikes any scores. But I digress. The real action, to my mind, in the latest poll is among the minor parties, the ones who hold proportionally the greatest amount of power, as their ability to create and break coalitions is well documented. As the major parties continue to fracture, it's the minor parties who gain the most. Now, this poll wasn't their best showing. That's unless you're Te Pāti Māori. The Greens lost ground presumably to Labour and Te Pāti Māori, ACT lost some ground, presumably to National, and New Zealand First, well, they lost some support because there are those of us who'd much rather have gone fishing than talk to a pollster. No, Te Pāti Māori were the big winners this month on a healthy 6.5% party vote, up 2.1. No wonder our dear Chippy was sending out overtures and big doughy eyes to Te Pāti Māori on Q&A over the weekend. The pint-sized red-headed rascal knows exactly what side his Rewina bread is buttered on. So, I've got a couple of questions. At 6.5% party vote for Te Pāti Māori, surely this gives more legitimacy to the argument that we need to have a serious discussion to dissolve both the Māori seats and the Māori role. Māori obviously don't need the handicap anymore. Or is that what political equity looks like? As I suspect our friends in the legacy media are loath to ask this question. Go on, guys, I dare you. Is it time to talk about the end of the Māori role and the Māori seats? Back to you, Megan.
Now it's time for Natalie and the RCR signpost.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Signpost, your guide to the latest must-watch content and practical ways you can get involved and take action for a better future. Don't miss the recording of last night's mind-blowing webinar on biometrics and privacy, available later today. Stephen Sykes, Paul Brennan, and Marie Buskey tell you all you need to know about digital IDs and surveillance creeping into your lives and what you can do to stop it. And among the top stories in this week's Rural Report, Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson look at how big tech's carbon offsets are threatening Kenyans. And in the EU, mealworms have been approved as novel protein. Meanwhile, in Rodney's reflections, he suggests Chris Luxon's leadership is collapsing due to weak decision-making and a failure to stand firm on key issues. Did you know if you have feedback or a question for your favorite RCR host, you can now reach out directly. Use the message button under the show notes in any episode. We love to hear from you, so send us your thoughts or text us anytime at 2057.
That's all from us today, Tuesday the 11th of March. Make sure you scroll to the bottom of this episode for all the links to the interviews featured in today's show. I'm Megan McNamara for The Daily Brief.